Good morning to all of you and those who will watch this later. I have you guys in my thoughts very often. I find myself can't wait to come to church on Sunday, and I pray that's your attitude too. And I just continue to pray for me that I'm able to study and to continue to rightly divide the word of truth to be able to present it to you on Sunday mornings. I've heard the old adage of preachers is that you prepare, you declare, you despair, and you repair. That's sort of the pattern that we go off of, is that we want to prepare, we want to have the best message for the congregation, we want to be able to have an emotional impact, and then we declare, we have our moment, and then we despair that we may not have preached enough, and then we repair it later on and go, oh, that's what I should have said. What's on my mind this morning is just the battle we all face, and I feel as though it's more of a battle today than it ever has been in 2025, going into 2026. The next time we meet together, it'll be a whole nother year that the Lord has given us. Granted, Lord willing is what we should say to things like that. He could come back before January 1st, but if he does not, and if he tarries, this is the adage that we ought to follow in Ephesians chapter 6, in verses 10 through 20. This is something we can all commit to memory, and I'm going to give the sense and cause you to understand the reading as best as I can with the limited amount of time that I have. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, starts out with, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." That sounds like just sort of a depart and be filled phrase, but we need to be strong in the Lord. And we need to know where that comes from. And that comes from the Lord himself, the power of his might. It doesn't come from how well we walk and how well we face the difficulties of life, or even how many Bible verses we're able to quote, memorize, and remember. It comes from the Lord himself, who's greater than we could ever imagine. And he rules and reigns. He's always ruled and reigned, and he is now. And that's where we get our strength from, is from the Lord. My family was able to see David yesterday, and he came to the Philistines and said, "God is with us in this fight. You come to us with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of God." And that was David's strength in that battle with Goliath and in all the battles that he faced in this life. He was strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He didn't have the most brawn and the best armor, but he had the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In the past, I've been able to deliver this message by the grace of God, and I focused a little too much on each individual piece of the armor, and not as much as I should have on wearing the armor. We need to wear the armor, and we need to know what the armor's for and what its purpose is, but that's only a small picture of what the armor does. The armor protects us. As much as it doesn't rely on our knowledge of the scripture, we need that. We need the knowledge and assurance of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to wear the armor of God to withstand the wiles of the devil, because the adversary is constantly about like a roaring lion. He might be even in the midst of you right now in this church. This is not a force field that keeps that out. But we need to put on the armor of God so that we're able to withstand these things. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't fight each other, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We talk about how the world's not the same like it was back when we were younger, for some of you, and it was always against the Lord's people. There was never a time from the fall of Adam to now where the world was not opposed to what we believe here and what we stand for. We are fighting against the world and We're fighting against the prince of the power of the air and his influence, and how he can influence those that rule over us, how he can influence our friends and family, how he can influence us as people. Sometimes the battle is within ourselves and confronting our own sin. But that's where the battle is. It's not against one another. It's not against whoever might be president, governor, boss, whoever rules over you. It's not against one another. It's against ideas. It's against worldviews. It's against agendas. It's against mindsets, against morals, against precepts, laws and commandments and statutes. Why do you think the Lord breaks it up into those four words? They somewhat mean the same thing, precepts, laws, commandments, and statutes, but they're all different in different contexts and in different layouts. One's more written, one's more spoken. He wants us to memorize it and remember it and write it on the tablets of our hearts. He wants us to know it and be able to defend it. Why wouldn't he just say, keep my commandments and have a nice day? Why would he break it into all those different words? Because he wants us to know it and to be able to say it and to be able to defend it. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, that's the truth. That's the knowledge of the truth. It's like a breastplate that covers you, covers maybe your heart from being deceived. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You read in Romans chapter 10 that how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of glad tidings. I prayed for beautiful feet. That sounds like a silly prayer. But when we read it in the context of Scripture, you pray for feet that will help you to travel and to preach the gospel and show the gospel to others. Be sure you have your shoes on of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherefore you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. If something's coming at you, you want the shield of faith. And faith means that it's the evidence of things not seen and of things hoped for. You may not see it right now, but you believe in it. You have faith in God. You trust in God. Is that a hard thing to do? I believe it is. But with the shield of faith, you're going to be able to quench the doubts that are out there. There's many doubts out there. I think we read Psalm 14 the other day, and it starts out with the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And there's many of those fools out there. I've been that fool. I've played the fool. It's a foolish thing not to believe in God, but we all do. We've all done it at some point. Maybe we haven't claimed atheism, but we've had our doubts as to whether or not God was there. So the shield of faith is important. It protects us from the doubts of this world. Satan works by subtlety. He'll start to make you doubt the existence of God. Well, where was God when that happened? How did God help you there? Where's your God now? And he can make it sound more convincing than that. That's the subtlety of the enemy. So to have that shield of faith is important. And take the helmet of salvation. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're a child of God? Can you have that knowledge and protect yourself from the idea that you may not be a child of God? Have you ever felt like you're not born again? Have you ever felt like you just fall short? Put your helmet on. Put your assurance on. See, I'm going through the different equipment, but I'm going through it really quick. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, this is a sword, and it is a very powerful sword, especially since we believe that the translation we have right here, the King James Bible, is the inspired Word of God for English speakers. It is a solid translation that comes from a very, very accurate manuscript. Now, it does say in Hebrews 4 and 12 that the Word of God is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. But that's talking about the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not talking about the Bible, because the word quick right there is to make alive. And you read the pronoun there, it's his and him. That's talking about the living Word of God. That's how you can rightly divide the word of truth with the sword, is that you may see a phrase that sounds correct, but it may not be 100% correct. But that's not to take away from the written word of God, which is a sword. And it helps you to rightly divide spiritual things that the natural man cannot understand. So you need that sword. You need the breastplate to keep your heart girded in the truth. You need the helmet of salvation, your assurance of salvation. You need the shield of faith to keep yourself from doubt. And you need the sword of the Spirit to rightly divide the word of truth. Praying always with all prayer and supplication is the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, perseverance is a good thing. Perseverance won't secure our place in heaven, but it certainly saves us from the evils of this present world. I encourage perseverance, but it's not something that will determine whether or not we're children of God. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. It's a good prayer for me and Brother Marty and all those that try to preach the gospel, is pray for us that we may speak it boldly, that we don't speak it quietly or sheepishly or coyly, like we're being shy, but we speak it boldly. We're not ashamed of it. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Can we say the same thing this morning? Think on that. That we may make known the mystery of the gospel. That's not to say the gospel can't be known, that it's just a mystery that we can't understand. That's just one of the great mysteries of life. No, the mystery's been revealed to us. The mystery's been given. The mystery's been explained. The mystery is found in the pages of this book, in the sword. It's a strong, powerful, cutting message. It cuts to the heart. It really does. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Are you an ambassador of the gospel today? You're made ambassadors in Christ. I believe that's 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. We're made ambassadors of these things. We inherited this, and we have it in our possession, and we have a duty and responsibility to uphold it by the word of God. So what I exhort you and admonish you to do is just continue to fight the battle. Continue to learn in the word of God. If you haven't already, we have a couple brothers here that have a chronological reading we do every day. I admonish each and every one of you to get on that so we can read scripture together every day. That's a wonderful start to every day. I don't always get to it in the morning, but when I get to it, it's a very blessed time together. So continue to fight the fight and be strong in the Lord, and don't be overcome by what's out there and what can trickle in here to discourage us. And now let us pray. Dear God, I pray that these words mean something to these people. I love these people, and continue to humble my heart before you and continue to be with Brother Marty and give him the strength and lift him up on wings like eagles, that he may continue to fight the good fight for your cause and for the faith. Dear Lord, continue to be with Union Church and make our candlestick shine brightly here or wherever you would have us to be. And we continue to pray for forgiveness and mercy on behalf of our many sins and transgressions. In your great name and in your Father's name and in the Holy Spirit, we pray, and amen.